This week's message concludes our series, Gifts Beyond Words. The title of the sermon is The Gift of Individuality and Spiritual Gifts, and the reading is Ephesians 4, 1-6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
On behalf of our whole church, I want to express my appreciation to specifically Scott and Vi Conkle for doing so much work in helping our church to get to this point as far as church incorporation is concerned. And also all the work that Scott's done in communicating with the town that our parking lot is, they will be paved, and not just the surface, they're going to do a lot of work to it, also the circular drywall as well. So thank you, Scott and Vi, for all the work that you have done for us. Appreciate it so much. Yeah. So we're delighted that you're here. You may recall that the first Sunday in January, we started talking about gifts beyond words, which was sort of a play on words, talking about what is the gift of justification, the gift of righteousness, and so forth. And so we talked about these gifts all the way through. Today will be our concluding sermon on this series, and thank you for your patience as we've gone through it. So today will be more of a textual look at where we've been in this preaching series today. So you may want to follow along in your Bibles or go ahead and follow the screen. There are collectors in this world who will travel the world and spend lots and lots of money, sometimes millions and millions of dollars, to have something that no one else in the world has. And for them, it's just special and unique, and they feel wonderful that they have something that no one else has. And yet that person could have realized something even before they went on their search. And that's this. It's amazing to me to know that out of the billions and billions and billions of people who have ever lived, who are living, or who will live, that there has never been, nor will there ever be, you. You are a rare gem. And this is where all the jokes come in and all this kind of stuff. But the reality is, when you stop and think about this, you could not have been born. God knew you before you were born. You were in his mind even before the beginning of time, which is too much to comprehend for me. But think of yourself in this way, not in a conceited sense, but a wow is this. God created you. And he created you as a gift. He gave you the gift of life so that you can use the gifts and talents he has poured out into your life for the benefit of others. Peter puts it succinctly, that God gives us spiritual gifts for the benefit of others. 1 Peter 4:10, and we'll look at that. So today, if you would, with that in mind, I'd like us to think individually, and please even feel free to be very, very selfish. Turn inward today and think of what are the talents and gifts that God has given me, each one of us asking this question. What is it that's so unique about me, that God created me, poured himself out into our lives, that God has given us himself as a gift, Christ as a gift, the Holy Spirit as a gift, but not only our life as a gift, but he gives us what's called the grace of gifts. We call these sometimes individual talents, but there's more to it than that. So Barb read to us this beautiful passage today in Ephesians chapter 4 about the uniqueness of one. But if you want to follow along with me, in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says this, thinking of ourselves, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now, he's not using the word grace here to mean this, that we're saved by God's grace. That's true, but that's not what he's meaning in this passage. In this passage, he's saying God has given us the grace of gifts, and these gifts and talents are different than anyone else, and that Christ gives us these gifts, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The passage that Barb read to us this morning is that we're all one, and yet we're all different. And so it says this. This is a beautiful passage of scripture taken from the Psalms, which seems kind of strange, but it really is beautiful when you think of this. Here's what it says. When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people, which is a quote from the Psalms saying that when Christ ascended into the world, he didn't leave the world. He left gifts for each one of us. And the greatest gift Christ has given us is his indwelling presence in our life. If you ever feel like you're lonely and there's nobody around me, just think of what we've talked about. God lives in us. Christ lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The gifts that God's pouring out into our lives, and that we're not just individuals, although we are unique, but that we belong to one another. Unique, different, separate, and yet all together. So in verse 9, he says, so what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. He's kind of a play on words. Christ is still with us. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So in this church, we have people who do different things. We have pastors, elders in our church whom you know. We have others who are doing one job or another job or are using their gifts and talents where we come together and we share these talents, not just for the encouragement of one another, but that we're available to the world around us. Well, I want to move now to 1 Peter chapter 4, a beautiful passage talking about this oneness. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Beautiful way to start. Above everything. So let's stop for a minute. All these gifts God has given us. Peter says, but above all that, above all those gifts, above everything, above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you speak, you should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If you serve, you should do with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and forever. Amen. And then we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Even though they're in different books, we're all talking about unity and the gifts that God gives to each one of us. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. Romans 12, beginning in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. I was debating whether I should do this or not, but I think we should do it. I think you should turn to the person closest to you and say, "Sorry, but I belong to you." Now, I suspect that that wasn't too difficult, especially if you're sitting beside your husband and wife. And if it was difficult, we got to talk. But I suspect that wasn't that difficult. But maybe what I should have done is to stop everything today and ask you to go to a person in this church that you don't know and say, "Hi, you probably didn't know this, but I belong to you. And thank you for belonging to me, whether you want to or not." See, this is part of the body. Standing back from life, all this sounds good. It's like, write this on a piece of paper. Here's the lesson plan for the day. There it is. Oh, that's good stuff. Now live it. The part of gifts is that they're not to be hoarded. We talked about this before. We talk about the sacraments. We talk about communion. Do I take it? Or do I receive this as a gift? In our baptism, is it, I must do this? Or do I receive this, as on the day of Pentecost, as a gift? In my prayer time, individual prayer time, is it always, "God, help me, God, help me, God, help me," which is a good prayer. Or, "I need this, I need this, I need this," a good prayer. But do we ever take the time to pray to say, "God, what can I do for you? Because you've been pouring yourself out into me. How can I make the world a better place? If because of the cross, the new kingdom has begun and we're part of that kingdom, what can I do with the gifts you have given me to allow that kingdom to be more demonstrated in the world around us?" So let's take a look at our last scripture today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 14. And this really is a beautiful passage of scripture. Paul's writing to a church that's struggling with their gifts. We don't have time to read it today, but he is making it very clear to us that right from the very beginning, he says, as a church, you're not lacking any spiritual gift. All the gifts that are needed for a church to grow and mature and be healthy and survive and do well, you have it. You've received it. So now he's kind of wrapping up this context, and he says, concerning all of these gifts, beginning in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans," meaning unbelievers, "somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And notice this, and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by" what? The Holy Spirit. Is there ever a time when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are not one? It's Christ who's pouring out his life. It's the Holy Spirit pouring out his life, God pouring out his life into our lives. So I go back to the beginning. Something priceless. What could I own that no one in the world owns? What could I own that no one in the world has ever owned? What is there that's come into the world that has never come into the world before, never will come into the world, but exists right now that is, well, you couldn't even imagine it? And then not just a life, but gifts that was given to this life. And that's each one of us. And it's true. God doesn't make junk. He makes the best. Maybe we haven't lived like the best, but he's always whispering to us, I know you. I love you. I'm pouring myself out into your life. And because of that, can you reach across to others and reach out to the world? So he says in verse 4, we're all different. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit who distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of working in all of them and everyone. It's the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of God's Spirit is working for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit of a message of wisdom, to other, knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. He's going and talking about all these different kinds of things that are there. But pick it up with me in verse 12, and we'll be finished. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink, symbolism for the presence of God's Spirit in our life. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And we're not going to take time to read all the different parts there, but I want to finish with verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So, next time you hear of somebody who's traveled to the farthest part of the world to get something that no one else has ever got and has it, you can maybe remind that person, you had something before you left that's priceless, and that's yourself. So God, please help us to get out of ourselves, to reach up to you, to reach across to one another, and always be thankful for this precious gift that you've given to each one of us, ourselves. And may we live our lives in such a way that honors you and serves the world and do it with joy and gladness. Help us to be patient with everyone we meet, because there are times when we need people to be patient with us. Help us to pour out our love to others as you have poured out your love to us. I thank you for every person in this room today. Priceless, absolutely priceless, that when we look into the eyes of one another, we see who God made like no one else, your priceless child. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.